Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Thomas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Last week, you heard part one of Starting Your Own Business with retired business entrepreneur Neil Abitabolo. In last week's show, Neil covered why a person may start their own business, how they can decide what business is right for them, questions they should ask themselves before actually starting the process, how to determine if the business idea is viable, how long it may take to determine if the business idea is viable, and finally, the process the new business owner has to go through to get the business opened. Before we begin part two, let me remind you about Neil and his background. Neil is a former businessman and a certified SCORE mentor. He has experience in C-level operating and financial corporate positions and in consulting activities for small through medium-sized entities in a variety of industries in both established and startup situations. Neil has also participated as an entrepreneur with an equity stake in a manufacturing business. He has served as an officer, board director, and corporate turnaround expert. Neil has over four decades of experience in driving business transformation, restructuring financial operations, managing companies through bankruptcy reorganizations, and negotiating refinancing and equity placements. He is adept at developing customized models to drive growth and reduce costs for industrial manufacturing, logistics, and business service companies. Neil's expertise includes strategic planning, risk assessment and mitigation, private equity, mergers and acquisitions, divestitures, startups, public markets, and operations improvement. Now, here is part two of Starting Your Own Business with my guest, Neil Abitabolo. The business owner has come up with the idea. They've asked all and answered all the questions, gone through the evaluations, gone over all the checklists, and the next step would be to everything down in the next step is to put everything down in some sort of formal business plan. So can you explain to the listener why this is such an important step and what it entails?
Sure. I'll do this as an outline rather than in specific detail, but a business plan defines the goals, outlines the methods for achieving them, and answers questions for the business owner. Some of those questions are, what is the status of how this is going, how my process is going? And that's really described as, where are we now and where we want to go? And that's a question that a starter of a business might ask every week, maybe every day, but every week, certainly once a month. Where are we now and where do we need to go? And compare that to what the original plan was for the goals of the business and when things should be achieved. It also answers the how, when, and who questions of how we get to the next step or how are we going to achieve these goals. And I mentioned before that we might need outside resources or we may need to get people who have some expertise in areas that we're not particularly competent in. So the who part of this is important. That helps us define, are we going to need more help and are we going to need outside help? Timetable is very important. We talked before about research. I said that the timing is not, there isn't a typical time. It takes what it takes. But when you get to the point of now running your own business, time deadlines will become very important. You may need to get to a level of business after 3 months. And if you're not at that level of business, you're out of cash and out of business. Or you may need to make sure that you have a bank relationship set up within the first 6 months. So that's something that perhaps can't be moved. You can't just push that off. And understanding when these steps or each goal needs to be completed is very important because it's kind of a day-to-day map of how the business is developing and how things are going. Costs are critically important. How much am I spending? What investment do I need to get my plant started? How much capital will be required? Where am I going to get the funding? That's another part of this. But you need to understand that cost, perhaps not on a day-to-day basis, but maybe weekly and maybe monthly. And I just make a quick comment here. That's very much how, you know, each of us run our personal lives. And, you know, we need to, who are we paying this month? How much money do we have available? Do we have to put money in the bank? Is there extra money that we can put in our pocket? And so we do that for our own benefit. It's critical, and it's more critical perhaps for the business.
You know, in all the years I've been a SCORE mentor, I've only come across a few clients, whether new ones or existing owners, who actually had a business plan. Now, business plan is a very important thing. I mean, it serves as a roadmap. It tells the business owner where he, and you just explained that earlier, where he is at a point in time, where he's supposed to be, and what he's supposed to be doing, so that he has some way of knowing, has he reached a goal? Has he reached a milestone? And so one of the things that they really need to understand is that if they have, they have to have a business plan. And I know it's a complicated thing sometimes. It doesn't have to be something very extensive, but there are some. I mean, I remember when I was doing a SCORE mentoring session, a guy came in. He had a business plan that was almost 2.5 to 3 inches thick. And I said, I can't believe anyone has done that kind of research. And he said, the only reason I've done that, he says, because I used to be in business before. I understand the necessity of a business plan and to be as detailed as possible. So it was good. And then I've seen people come in with a 2-page plan. I mean, it depends on your business. It depends on what you intend to do. But one of the things that they have is that business plan does have sections to it. In fact, basically, it has 8 sections to it. So can you please explain to the listeners the 8 sections of the plan and the importance of each section?
Sure. Every business plan, this is a very simple and perhaps a little self-evident, but it should be mentioned. You need a cover page. You know, let's describe what's the business, who are the people involved, put some dates on there, who did the plan. If I'm reading your plan, who do I contact? If I have a question, the logistics of the business, where is it, you know, that sort of thing. And maybe just 2 sentences on what is the business involved in doing? You know, what is it doing? The second part of it is an executive summary, and I'll hold that off a little bit, but it's a very important part of the plan, and it should be the next thing right after your cover page. There are countless stories of investment bankers and venture capitalists who transact significant amount of funds literally every day. And the only thing they do initially is read your executive summary. And at the end of reading the executive summary, those business plans go into 2 piles, 2 stacks. One is throw it away, we're done. And the other is leave it for additional evaluation. So that executive summary is crucial. The next section is describe your business and go into some detail. Going to make widgets. What are the kind of widgets? How are you going to get those? Are you going to buy them? Are you going to make them? What your business activity is. And that's, of course, going to be very different depending upon the business that you're in. The next section is provide background in terms of the industry that you're in. So this will be some statistical information, perhaps, some demographic information, perhaps, but it will be just an overview of what is it that you're going to do on the assumption that it's not totally unique. How does that industry interact with the market now? What sort of returns does this business typically achieve? That kind of information supports your conclusion that this is the business that you want to get involved with. Marketing, very important. I won't go into detail there, but you know, if you don't understand your market, you really haven't done the right work to evaluate the potential of your business. Financial information, also very important, whether that be for determining the amount of money that you need to start the business and run the business for the first X number of months, or whether it be the amount of money that you're going to need to find a financial source for. The financial statements will provide that. And if you have a business that has some history, having some financial statement history will support your prognosis, so to speak, with how the business may perform in the future. Supporting documents, that's, you know, what else do you have to provide as backup to your business plan? And the last part of that, which is connected to the supporting documents, is tell the reader where you've obtained your research information. So that may be through, you know, some sort of a national association. It may be through government sources. So you want to provide, just as if you're writing a report from school, you want to provide the documentation and support the credibility of the material that you're presenting. And a good way to do that is provide the source, as it were, to footnote that information. I take another minute just to talk about the executive summary. And the key points there are to describe, again, the company very quickly and the ownership, who, what, when, where, answers. Describe, again, the product or service. What is the opportunity for the business? People talk about this, and a more common phrase nowadays is, what is the value proposition? So I'm going to sell this product. It's going to cost me this amount of money. I expect to get so much in margin or return for that product. And that's going to equate and calculate into an overall value of the business. And depending upon the value of the business, does it make sense to do this or not? And that really is, you know, the opportunity for the sole proprietor, or the opportunity for five or six people to get together and fund the business on a joint basis. Describe the management team. May not be the owners. It may be people that you, depending upon the size of the business, that you have hired or brought in to help. Why are you going to be successful? And perhaps even adding why you might fail. And the amount of money that you need. Many times a business plan is driven by the need for the business owner to get funds from somebody else. And if you're going for bank financing, or if you're going to try to attract an outside investor, they're going to need to know, you know, well, how much money are you going to need? You can't say, well, it's going to be somewhere between $1,000 and $10,000. That isn't going to work. You need to be much more specific, not down to the dollar. But you need to be in a much smaller range of value. And then if you do borrow money, or if you do bring in a partner or an equity investor, you should describe how you believe that loan is going to be paid off, or how that equity investor will receive a return. You know, maybe that's, you're going to sell the business, or you're going to provide funds to the equity investor as the business generates cash. Whatever those reasons are, or that plan is, you need to put that in there. That's basically the executive summary. And I also suggest, when people are putting a plan together, that they do the executive summary last. Make sure that you've done all of the background work. So when you put the summary together, not only is it comprehensive, but it also matches exactly the information that's in the balance of the plan.
In O'Neill, the potential business owner has other options besides opening a new business. Please go over the various options and advantages and disadvantages of each that an individual has when it comes to opening a new business.
The purchasing of an existing business has advantages with respect to there is a customer base, there's ongoing activity, there is a location or locations already established, there are other business relationships perhaps with a banker or certainly with suppliers, with potential people who are employees, professionals who help the business. It's a, you're buying a known entity. So it's not the ABC new company, it's the XYZ existing company, existing business. So there's a name recognition that you don't have to reestablish if you were starting your own business. There's a history of the business performance, particularly financial records. So you have financial statements that you can look back through, get a better sense of the decision not only to buy the business, but when the business is running under your ownership, what you expect the business to be able to do based upon the history. And also, if you do need to get outside funding or outside financing, it's easier with an established business. You've got a track record, you've got some history, you've got firm numbers that you can point to, and that's an advantage with a banker. Disadvantages are, why is the business being sold, offered for sale? Perhaps there's a business problem. Maybe there's some reputation issue with the business or the owner. You may have inventory that may not be the most up-to-date version of the items that you're selling, may even be obsolete. You have to be concerned about that when you're buying assets, particularly inventory. Is there inflated goodwill? And that, without going into a lot of technical details, are you paying more for the business than the business is worth in terms of its assets? Do you have employees that are going to be continue to be loyal to the old owner of the business? And maybe that's a problem because they don't shift that loyalty over to you as a new business owner. And you have to be concerned about what is the seller of the business going to do? And that gets us to a couple of legal agreements just to mention. One is a non-compete. So if you buy a business, you want to make sure that that owner, or your preference would be that that owner doesn't start a similar business around the corner and maybe with a similar name. You want to try to have something in your contract of purchase for the business to provide some protection for you there. And the other thing, early on in discussions with a business owner looking to perhaps sell a business, there's going to be quite a bit of information that's shared by the owner to you as the potential seller. You're going to need that information to make your decision. And also the owner may gather information about you and what your intentions are. So you want to have a non-disclose agreement that basically says neither party can disclose any information that they discern during this process to outside parties, unless that information is already out in the public. You know, then there's no limitation. Second way that you could start a business, get into business rather, without starting it on your own, is you can acquire a franchise. McDonald's is a good example of that. Many McDonald's stores are owned by individuals or by separate entities, but lots of the activity connected with running McDonald's or running any franchise business is that there's an established brand name, there is an operating system in place. Certainly that's true with McDonald's or other fast food outlets. And there's ongoing support from the home office, so to speak. So, you know, you can get some help. You can get some direction from McDonald's, Inc., if you're a franchise owner. And those are all examples, or all benefits, rather, examples of benefits you buy a franchise. The disadvantages are there's a cost to do this. So every hamburger that we buy at McDonald's, portion of that goes back to McDonald's in terms of their fee. Agreements are kind of restrictive. You can't do certain things. You have to comply. I don't think you can independently add items to McDonald's menu, for example. And whatever the franchisor's problems might be, and we can't really use McDonald's for this, but another franchisor, that's perhaps having trouble in total. Maybe their business is not doing so well. And as a franchise participant, as a franchise owner, you're going to be saddled a bit with those corporate problems. They're not your problems directly, but they could impact your business. So there's pluses and minuses that would need to be considered in acquiring a franchise as well.
Well, once you're in business, the owner needs to make sure that the business is covered for all emergencies. Explain to the listeners what these contingencies are and how the owner can protect against them.
Yes. As in our personal life situation, one way that we can protect ourselves from things that might happen that are not good, is, you know, we can have plenty of reserves, cash reserves, set aside for, let's say, difficult times. Individuals try to plan that. If they're successful, they have some availability of cash to cover, you know, the negative things that might happen in life. Business owner could take the same approach. They could set aside funds to take care of these things. But we have a very litigious society, and covering damage is one thing, but covering the cost of a successful lawsuit against us as business owners is a whole different realm of dollar amounts, and sometimes that's well above the means of whatever the business owner may put aside. So the solution to all of this is to make sure that you have insurance coverage, and that's broken down. We'll quickly go through the different parts or different kinds of insurance that you can have. The first is property. We have our homes insured with homeowners insurance. We'd have our business insured with the value of the property, and also perhaps what we might lose in revenue if the business was shut down for some reason connected to the property or plant. Liability insurance, so that's protect us against the slip and fall type accidents, whether they be in a retail outlet or whether they be on a job site for a third party. So we would need that kind of coverage. If we're driving our car or we have a fleet of trucks, we would need car insurance, just like we do on a personal basis. We'd make sure that we have enough liability coverage built into that. Workers' compensation, if we have employees, those generally are connected to the state that we're in. And as you know, they provide insurance coverage to workers who were injured working for us, for the business owner, and are unable to continue to work or can only work partially or, worst case, have some disability that maybe keeps them from working at all. There is insurance for that. Medical insurance. There are rules about when a company has to have health and medical insurance for their employees. We won't go through that, but that's an important thing in today where there are plenty of jobs that go unfilled. Sometimes the ability or the availability of health and medical insurance for a potential applicant to a job might be the swing that gets that employee or that potential employee to come on board. Life insurance. For employees, perhaps, but more importantly, for the business owners, if there's a problem with continuing the business, then companies may also include what's known as key man or key person insurance, which is the company has insurance where the company will get paid proceeds if the owner dies, so that there's some continuity and some recovery for whatever the contribution that the owner was providing.
That ends part two of Starting Your Own Business with Neil Abitabolo. To recap, in this part, Neil covered why a formal business plan is important when starting a new business and what it entails, the benefits of having a business plan, what each of the eight sections of the plan contain and their importance, the advantages and disadvantages of various options a person has to go into business besides opening a new business, and finally, how the new business owner can protect themselves against the possible contingencies of owning a business. In the final part to this topic, Neil will cover ways of obtaining financing, the five C's of credit, the administrative tasks of a business, why businesses fail, and why businesses succeed. If you'd like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show, or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj, and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about them and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for part 3 of Starting Your Own Business with my guest, Neil Abitabolo. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then. For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.